So we've been going through the book of Philippians. We have watched Paul and his faithfulness throughout his life, especially as he's in prison. And we've seen him talk about the struggles that he has been through within his life. We have learned that we are not exempt from problems, pain. We are not exempt from any crises in life. And we've learned that you can go through the things of life with joy. Actually, some victory as you go through these many things that Paul dealt with. It seems difficult as we think about this, how tough his life was, that he could face life this way. But you see it over and over and over and over again within his life. Just in this chapter, we've seen in verse 8, where he said, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." You just realize everything that would be considered of value in his life he considers trash next to Jesus Christ. We made it a little bit grosser whenever we looked at it. You remember that it was as if it was dung as we consider those things that we hold dear in this world compared to Christ. We see later on in verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And just always that focus that we are looking for the call of Christ. And we've seen already that we are striving to be like Christ and being conformed to his image. And we move on into the text this morning in verses 20 and 21. And Paul says, and we have read this and looked at it because we're kind of headed to this in this chapter, looking at this. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." You understand who we are in Christ and what we're headed for and what we are looking forward to in the future? I think many times we live our lives focused on the here and the now. And those are the things that we are concerned about within this life. As you see within the text, we are citizens of heaven. I obviously didn't get the animations right. That verse isn't supposed to pop up yet, but it's all right. Just as Paul was a Roman citizen and had all of the privileges of that of being a Roman citizen, that picture that you and I are citizens of heaven. Do you think about being citizens of heaven? That you belong there? That is where that your residency actually is in heaven, and we are just passing through here in this life. You understand that it is not one of those things that when you die, there is going to be a mistake about where that you go. Muhammad Ali Jr., the story's come out this week that he tried to enter the country with his passport. He was born with it in the United States of America, and he got detained for 2 hours, and there was a mistake if he could come into the country or not. Now, I'm not getting into all the politics of that thing, but it took 2 hours for him to get in the country with a passport that was valid and all sorts of different things, and there's getting to be a great uproar about that. Folks, let me tell you what. There's not going to be a mistake whenever you get to heaven if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. You will be able to enter into that place. The citizenship is already established if you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. You see in the text here, in the verse here out of the New American Standard, I love this term. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens." Anybody know a song about aliens, David? What is it? It says, "We are aliens in this world." Talks about it. And that idea that we are those that are just literally passing through. But I love this text here. And he says, "And as strangers to abstain from the fleshly lust which wage against the soul." So we live in this world. We are not tied to this world. It is not as if, and I understand, I'm proud to be an American. I'm glad that I'm an American. But you know what? That is not my identity. What's my identity? Christ Jesus alone. That's who we identify with, is Jesus. Not American first, Christian second. It's Christian first, could be second, third, and fourth, all right? But I mean, that is how we are identified, is with Christ. And because we are with Christ, we are citizens of heaven. We live like it. Now understand, we don't do it perfectly. Every one of us within this week, we can go back and we can look at those instances that we wish we had done something different that would have proclaimed Christ better within our lives. Every one of us. But by and large, with our lives, we strive to stay away from sin. We strive to live for Christ. And we strive not to live for the things of this world. We talk about within our Sunday school lesson this morning, and we're in our class, where they just finished up Philippians. Boy, they go fast. All right? They did it in, I think, 6 weeks. I don't know how they did it. All right? What are we, 6 months? But we're getting there. But the focus of our lives is this world. We are stuck on what is going to take place next in this world, rather than having a mind that is focused on eternity, because we're so concerned about what will take place here. And folks, we understand we have got to take care of those things that are with this life. We've got to provide for ourselves and things of that nature. But those are those things that are necessary within life, as we are honoring Christ in everything that we do, as we are denying those things that are of the flesh and those things that wage against the soul. You see, we live in a world where it's instant gratification. We want what we want, and we want it yesterday. We don't even want it today anymore. We want it so quickly. I shared with them this morning, I'll go to buy something online and on Amazon, and if I can't get it in 2 days, guess what? I'm moving on to the next line. Talk about, I got to have it in 2 days. You know what? There's very rarely a thing other than my daughter's cello string that we needed to have in 2 days. I mean, it's just how we have gotten to be within our society. We've got to have something that's in front of us that is entertaining us, rather than taking the time and spending it with the Lord or in His Word, or just contemplating what's our life in serving the Lord. We live as if this life is going to last forever. Let me tell you something. It's not. You know the death rate? What is it? 100% so far. All right? Jesus, Elijah, only two. Folks, we see those. Everyone else has died as they've gone. What? We'll see. Look at it here in just a moment with the rapture, as we'll address that here in just a few moments. But Do you live as if you're a citizen of heaven and you're building up for that place called heaven? Are you, as the text would say here in verse 20? He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, for from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you watching for Him? Are you looking with expectancy for the return of Jesus? You see, that's one of the reasons that Paul had such joy within his life, is because he realized that that jail cell was not the end of life. Even though everything seemed to, from the worldly standpoint, would come in against him, that is not the end. He continues to look for the return of his Savior, Jesus. He cannot get past that it's going to take place. He cannot wait to see his Savior. He writes to Timothy this. He says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Folks, you hear that? We've preached before on the five different crowns within Scripture. This is one of those. And you see here that as we are living our lives with expectancy, with looking, with can't wait to see Jesus, there's a crown that's set for us. Folks, I am convinced that this is one of those crowns that as we, and one of those issues within our life, as we are looking for the return of Christ and we are living with that expectancy, it really puts other things in place. Because you are living as if Jesus could return today. Could he? Could he return? Absolutely. What if you're living your life that way? You're not putting off what you know to do in the Christian life because you know what? Jesus could return today. I may not have an opportunity tomorrow. There's an urgency that takes place because we are anticipating the return of Jesus. Have you ever anticipated somebody coming to see you? Most days, if I'm not off in a hospital or something like that, but Monday through Thursday, I try to be in the office about 8 o'clock and there till about noon every day. Now, there's some weeks you'll come by and I won't be there from 8 to noon any of those days, all right? But by and large, that's what I try to do. And during those 4 days, there's a fellow in our church named Jerry Ledford that he comes by about 9:45, 10:15, all right, once or twice a week. Now, he doesn't have to check in. That's not what I'm saying or anything like that. But by and large, I'm kind of watching out that window right there because in a general, he'll come by once or twice a week and do some things around the church, put up chairs, things of that nature. And I'm watching for him. All right? I don't call him up and go, Jerry, where are you? All right? He'd kill me. All right? Right? He doesn't want to be tied to that cell phone. All right? But you know what? There's an anticipation. Why? Because I enjoy seeing Jerry. He's always got a smile, always enjoyable, and things like that. There's an expectancy about that. All right? He's not in trouble if he doesn't show up or anything like that. But there's that expectancy that is there because I know there's a good chance he's coming that day. Folks, that is how that we are to live, waiting on the return of Christ. Is that today might be the day. Because it might be. You see, we long for it to be the day that the Lord returns. You see, here's Paul, probably hungry in jail. He's probably cold. He is probably sick. I imagine he gets lonely even though he's tied to a guard. But he realizes that all of these things that are negative within his life at any moment could be changed. And that hope that he has, that anticipation that Paul has of the return of Jesus. Let me ask you, are you living with that anticipation, with that desire, with realizing that he could return today? Matthew 24:42 tells us, says, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Be alert, be ready, be expectant that he could return today. You see, it helps us to serve him faithfully. We see here in Matthew 24, long passage here, two slides. It says, who then is faithful and a wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed. So what? He's got a servant. He's put him over all of his stuff while he's gone on a trip. And here he's come along. He says, you know what? It looks like my master's not going to come on the day that I expect. And then he says, looks like I goofed up on verses King James and I jumped to ESV. Who knows why that happened, all right? But he says, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and he eats and drinks with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He does not live with the expectancy that the master can return at any time. And he gets caught. And what's happened? He's taken it for granted and used it upon his own flesh and upon his own desires. And he's destroyed as a result. I'll never forget when I was police chaplain years ago, Debbie and I, whenever the kids were little, Debbie had quit teaching and for 4 or 5 years stayed home and raised the kids and all that stuff. And to take care of health insurance, we delivered the Daily Oklahoman in the morning. And Debbie could, it's amazing at 3 o'clock in the morning how many times Debbie didn't feel like doing a paper route. I didn't ever get that. She said, honey, I just don't feel good. And it's amazing how many days that happened. I'm going to be in trouble for that. All right? But this morning, that particular morning, I got up and I was doing the paper route and I drove by our local bank that we used and there was a police car sitting out front. Well, I knew who it was, probably sitting in the car. I didn't recognize the car. It was an old unit that was sitting up there. So I pulled up to the car and there was that officer. He's out. Well, I knew him. I couldn't help it. I had this nice horn in my car. It's fun watching him in that car. I honestly can't remember who it is now. I wish I could. But you knew he was caught. Now, what turned out was the alarm had been disconnected at the bank, and they were there watching the bank while the alarm was disconnected or not working or whatever it was. And I mean, his eyes were like, oh no. I never told the chief. I never told a soul. I just smiled. All right, that's what I did. But he knew he'd fallen asleep on the job. And literally, probably his job could have been on the line as he had done that. He wasn't on watch as he needed to be. And it's the picture that you and I, we are on watch for the return of Jesus because it could take place at any time. Other passages of Scripture say, you never know when the thief is going to come, and you're on watch. See, the key is are you living? Are you serving Him because you are expecting His return and you desire to be found faithful when He comes? You see, when we get to the point that we're not living with the expectancy of His return, we get lazy. We are not walking through this life going, you know what, today might be the day. Are you ready for the day? Are you ready for the day that our Lord would return? How will you be found when that takes place? You see, one of the things that takes place is as we're constantly watching, we are constantly checking if we're going to be found the way that we want to be found. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 talks about rewards that come in the life to come. It says, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Folks, you see, as we're going to be found, what have you done with this life? We understand that at the end of this life, there's going to be judgment that comes for those of us that know Christ. And what we have done will be laid up, and the picture here is in a pile, almost as. And those things we've done in this world are the wood and the hay and the stubble that is for ourselves and for our flesh. And they'll be burned up. And those things for the sake of eternity are the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And guess what happens? Those things don't burn up. And they last forever and forever and forever. You see, it matters. How we serve the Lord, we talked about in the earlier, the crown of righteousness that we receive as we are looking for the appearing of Jesus. You see, Jesus is coming. Do you realize that? Anybody awake? Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. We see there in verse 20 where it says, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you waiting? He's coming. Remember, he talks about it in John 14:1. Our precious passage, we read it a lot at funerals. That's where we want to talk about heaven, is at funerals. All right? But I don't know about you, but heaven is one of those things that we ought to continually think about, because it's what lies ahead after this life. And it's really where we are headed to be with Christ, and we will be like Him. But we see here in the text, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Are you looking forward to the day? Now, some of you are sitting there going, you know what? I sure am. My back really hurts today. Some of you are sitting there going, you know what? I've got a pretty good size headache today. And yep. And some of you are sitting there going, you know what? Life's too good here to want to go to heaven. Let me just tell you. No, it's not. Heaven is so much greater than what we have here. You understand, this is what John is quoting Christ on. And he's telling us not to let our hearts be troubled. It is better there. He is going to prepare a place for us. One commentator, as with this passage of Scripture, went through and used the illustration of this as being the Jewish wedding ceremony, and that Jesus going and making reference to that taking place as he writes, as Jesus quotes this out of John, or says this out of John. And the picture of a young man would go to negotiate the marriage with a woman's parents. Now, folks, isn't that interesting how you do marriage that many years ago? And a dowry would be agreed upon. And when that takes place, they are what is called betrothed. And at that point, they are officially married, although they will not live with each other for a year. Now, this is the period Mary and Joseph were in at the time that Mary conceived Jesus, this betrothal period. All right? No physical relations had taken place between them at all. That's what would take place in a normal Jewish ceremony. And the young man would go to his father's house and start preparing a home for him and for his bride. You go to the King James and all it talks about, it's gone to prepare a mansion and things of that nature. Much better translation here. He's gone to prepare a room, as if a room is added onto the house, just like would have been done in the days of the Jewish weddings. They would go and add another room for the new family, the new husband and the new bride to live. Picture of heaven. When the young man and she'd go home and she'd prepare herself for the wedding that would take place. When the young man finished preparing the home, he'd assemble his friends and they'd march down to the bride's father's house to receive the bride and take back the newlywed home that he had prepared. Now, some people say the bride just sat around just waiting for that year, wondering when he was going to come. And I'm like, get a little realistic. But I suspect what happened was that she had a general idea when it would be taking place that he would be coming. But they didn't set the exact time. All right, this is for you guys that can't be on time for anything, okay? But what would take place was she would be waiting with an expectancy, wondering when he would come. Sound familiar? The bride would go out, meet the groom, and then return to the father's house, and then there'd be the feasting that would take place and the party. And finally, the groom would take his bride into the bridal chamber he'd prepared for her, and they'd consummate the long-expected marriage. Then the bride, they say, would stay in that chamber for 7 days. That chamber that had been prepared for her. Then after 7 days, the bride would come out, the wife of her husband, inseparably wed until death do they part. Quite an ordeal compared to what we look at. But you look at it. As we see the coming Savior, and with thinking of that as you read through the passage there in John chapter 14, that the church is the bride of Christ. Guess what? We've been betrothed. And He's purchased us. How? By His blood on the cross. Then what's He done? He's gone to heaven to prepare us a place. When He's completed our heavenly home, He'll return to the earth for His bride, the church. We read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of that taking place. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain shall join Him in the air. That resurrection glorious body that will take place. The bride didn't know the hour, neither do we. But we're ready, expectant for the return. We'll go and we'll meet our wonderful Savior in the air. We have the resurrected, glorified bodies that we see that is spoken of later on in the text we haven't looked at. But it's interesting that, now, many people have different interpretations, all right? I believe that we'll be raptured out time before the 7-year tribulation that takes place. And we'll go, and it's that 7-year preparation period that's taking place similar to the 7 days that they would be in the bridal chamber and come back with Christ for the 1,000-year reign. Wonderful picture. Expectant, looking for that, just as the bride would in the Old Testament by their tradition. And we wait expectantly, looking forward to that heavenly home that will take place. You see within the text here, as that is taking place and that resurrection takes place for those of us that are believers in Christ Jesus, our body will be transformed as that resurrection takes place. You say, that's an absolute impossibility that a resurrection can take place. Place of the dead. Do you understand that there are people that are that they died in the ocean and have become fish food? Do you understand that there have been people that their bodies have been burned up? Do you understand that there are people that their bodies have been in the ground and there is nothing left? And those that know Christ Jesus, they'll be resurrected up on that day that the Lord comes and calls us. Transformed, those changed bodies. We see it talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We should not all sleep." Now, what's sleep mean? Hopefully not something you're doing right now. No, we shall not all die. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We have a new glorified body that is perfect for worship of the Lord for eternity. It will last forever and forever. Folks, I don't know about you, but now I'm 50. I'm getting to the point that it sounds good to have a new body. Okay, I'm the only one. Does it sound good? I mean, the things that I've seen that take place to this body over the years is horrendous. I've watched cancer wreck these bodies. I've watched diabetes wreck the bodies. I've watched heart disease. I've watched cars. I've watched, if I've forgotten your issue, I'm sorry. I've watched it. These bodies are dying, and we deal with the misery of those things. But we look forward to that day when it'll be a glorified body. And we look forward to that. Do you? Folks, I hope it's not just so that we don't have the aches and pains, although that will be wonderful. But I mean, we will be able to worship and serve the Lord like we were designed to in the garden. Forever and forever and forever. With this new glorified body that we have. That Jesus provides, the Lord provides for us. We have a changed body. And then we realize that the Lord will conquer. In verse 21, he says, "Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject things to himself." Folks, we've been with the Lord, we've been there for 7 years, the tribulation's taken place, all the horrors of that. I put it on, if you go and you read the Revelation, folks, I'm here to tell you, Revelation's one of the toughest books you can teach through in the world. I'm here to tell you, it's judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment. You preach through that, and I'm here to tell you, you're almost depressed by the time you've got through it, except that you see the faithfulness of God and that He has shown Himself faithful through the midst of it all. And then you get to the end, and you go, hallelujah, as you see the new heavens and the new earth, and that He'll take and He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. We'll be with Him, but that thousand-year rule, we come down and we rule with Him for those 1,000 years as His church. We see how it's spoken of. It says, before it takes place, before the thousand-year reign. But he says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Speaking of what will take place in 1,000 years, as that is taking place later. We will reign, or after the 7 years, we'll reign with him for 1,000. Amazing. Folks, are you ready? Three or four weeks ago, I haven't picked on George in a long time. It's your turn, buddy. But he was in the emergency room with his brother-in-law, Greg, Jerry, and Brenda. I hadn't thought about picking on them twice, all right? But they were out for a funeral down in Kentucky. And George was up with Greg in the emergency room, and he's doing fine, still having some tests that need to be done on that. But as I walked out of Greg's room, they were wheeling somebody into the emergency room, and to me, it's pretty obvious they'd either been shot or stabbed. And I could tell just by the seriousness of the doctor, and they were, you know, looking, and some of the discussion that was taking place, and just knew it's going to be a bad deal. I can see the blue of that guy's eyes that was being wheeled into the trauma unit there. And he died pretty shortly afterwards. And I got out of there pretty quick. I was coming here to do Wednesday night service at that time, so I got out pretty quick. And I don't remember if George called me. I called George. I don't know what happened. But he said, do you know what happened? I said, this place is on total lockdown. And I said, well, I knew something was going up, but I didn't know what was going on. He said, there's a shooting in the parking lot. Huh? I really hadn't thought about it too much. I got in and did services and stuff like that. And I don't know if it was after church. I don't even remember when it was. George will straighten me out later, I'm sure. But I remember just thinking about that. I could have walked right out of the emergency room with what was taking place. Come to find out, it's a block away from the hospital, but that's not what they told him at the hospital at the time. But you know what? In my hurry to get out, I mean, I could have walked out, caught one in the heart, caught one in the head. What would have been I'd been gone from this life. Would it be okay? Yes. 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 It would be. I hope there'd be a few tears back on this side. I hope there's a lot more rejoicing. Because you know what? Scripture says I'd be absent from the body and I'll be present with the Lord. Now you can sit here and you can say, you know what, Pastor? Your son's about to graduate in May. Don't you want to see that? Yes. I know Michaela's only 15, but I'm telling her she needs to get a boyfriend and get married and have grandkids. I'm just kidding, sweetheart. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Do I want to see that? Yes. But you understand that eternity in heaven is so much better than anything on this side. Hello? It is. And we live as if everything is focused on the here and the now. These are the things that won't last. But those things that you've invested in eternity, in the lives of people for the sake of eternity, the gold and the silver and the precious stone, as you live with the expectancy of the return of Jesus, not fearful of leaving this life. Now, you know what? I'm not that excited about getting shot or anything of that nature and the in-between of dying and going to heaven. But I'm excited about going to heaven. All right? It's okay. And we long for and we look for that city and that time. What's your focus on in this life? Are you sitting there going, you know what? I don't want to die because heaven's just not going to be a fun place. You know what? You can't sin there. It can't be too good a deal. Because why do we like sin? Because we like sin. Folks, it is so more wonderful than you can ever imagine. You go look in 20 and 21 of Revelation and you just watch and see through that. But that we will serve Christ forever and forever and forever. It will be so much better than this place. What's your heart set on? Maybe today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. Your heart can't be set on heaven. Because there's only one place you're headed. It's a place called hell. Our sin is so horrendous, it has separated us from the living God. But God so loves us that He sent His Son to die on the cross, pay the price for our sin. And all we have to come to is that point that we profess Him as Savior and Lord in our life. We accept Him, what, as the boss of our life. Repentance, changing, desiring to be going one direction, we turn around and we do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. A change in life. You say, preacher, I can't change. Let me tell you, I know you can't. But you come by faith, accepting what the Lord did on the cross for you. you with a desire to repent of your sin, and guess what? He will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Will you today come and profess Christ as your Savior? Don't put it off. Scripture says now is the accepted time of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It is today. Do not put it off. Christians, are you living for what's going to take place in 10 minutes? Lunch is ready to be served, and I'm hungry. Or is it about an eternity? And making an impact for the sake of Christ by His strength and by His power.